Open my mouth, Lord, that I may faithfully proclaim your holy word. Help us to receive the wisdom of your word and your scriptures. We pray these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. To pursue anything, we must know what we are pursuing and optimally the fastest way to get there. I can remember a number of years ago when my oldest children were in middle school. There was an athletic event, and it was somewhere in either Carroll or Frederick County, and I was unfamiliar with the territory, and no, I didn't have a GPS. And I had written directions, but the best I could do with written directions, since it was already dark out and it was pouring down rain, once I got into that region where I didn't know what I was doing, I pulled over, read a little bit more, and went. Pulled over, read a little bit more, and went. Because, quite frankly, if I veered off of those sets of directions, I might as well come back home again because I didn't know how to get there. This morning, I want us to think about the pursuit of wisdom. Our text will be Philippians 4, the Old Testament lesson. So my first point is the pursuit of wisdom is an inherited pursuit. Proverbs 4, 1 through 4 says this, "Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching, do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live." Our faith in the Lord is meant to be passed on, as this passage speaks about. From Deuteronomy chapter 6, after Moses tells the children of Israel to love the Lord your God, the Lord is one, and then he instructs them that they are to do this with their confession of the true God. "You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Our faith in the Lord was meant to be passed on, and the wisdom that comes from God's holy word was meant to be passed from one generation to the next in faithful instruction in various ways. When you're in the house, when you walk along the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. In other words, may it be in many venues consistently, both by your actions and by how you live, as well as what you speak of. Solomon speaks of a father teaching him the ways of godly wisdom, even as his father's father had taught him. And so our pursuit of wisdom is an inherited pursuit. But it's not just because what our parents have taught us, but because what our parents had taught us was linked in with the word of the Lord. Secondly, our pursuit of wisdom must be a comprehensive pursuit. Proverbs 4:7 says this, "The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding." It has been said that Google can give you information, but not wisdom. The pursuit of wisdom must be a comprehensive pursuit as we endeavor to follow wisdom in all its breadth, its height, its length, and its depth. While this is a challenging and daunting task, I thought in my preparation for this sermon to give some concrete examples and applications of this comprehensive wisdom. So I picked out three applications of the pursuit of wisdom. And my first application is prayer. It is God's will that we seek the Lord on a daily basis. And we're told to do this throughout scriptures in the Old and New Testament. In fact, Jesus gave a prayer to his disciples to pray, the Lord's Prayer. And we are to pray to the Lord that God's kingdom, glory, will be done in our lives and in the lives of God's people. It also includes praying that God would provide for the needs of others as well as ourselves as we pray, give us this day our daily bread. We're to pray to God to preserve and strengthen us through times of trial and temptation. And also to plead that God would forgive us our sins even as we forgive those who sin against us. And so the Lord's Prayer prays all these petitions, and it also gives us a model of how we are to pray to the Lord in a balanced way. I have found the acronym ACTS, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication, as an accurate and helpful summary as we pray to the Lord. In Psalm 119, verse 164, the psalmist says this, seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. Seven times a day we are to praise God and pray to Him for His goodness to us. The general thanksgiving in our morning prayer service is a good example of how we can praise God for all His goodness and faithfulness to us as we remember God's general blessings to all people, our creation and preservation, but also God's blessings to all Christian believers. In the middle of this prayer, when I am alone, I pause to remember God's mercy to me this day. This is not the only way to give thanks, but the general thanksgiving is a good summary and discipline to pray to the Lord. In the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verse 10, we find Daniel praying three times a day, as was his custom, even though this very act of prayer would send him into the lion's den. And one last reference to the scriptural discipline of daily prayer is given to us in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so all of these scriptural references refer to our daily discipline of prayer. It must be something that we do regularly and consistently, not just during times of emergency. We ought to do it then, but always, in all situations. And so, one of the ways in which we recommit ourselves to the Lord is in this very discipline of seeking the face of God in prayer. And I have to admit, I do not remember this source, so I will just have to say it's anonymous since I truly can't remember it. But this saying has been said that those who begin to lose their faith in God, one of the telltale signs that it is absent from their lives is that they neglect to pray. And with that neglect comes the slipping away of their relationship with the Lord. And so we need to seek the face of God in prayer. Again, God has given us resources in the Lord's Prayer and the Psalms on how to seek the face of the Lord. Another application of comprehensive wise living is daily reading the Scriptures. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2 says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." We need to read and meditate on the word of the Lord day and night. Again, it's not something that should just occur every once in a while when we're in need of direction, but it needs to be our daily diet. Scripture is called our nourishment, and for our souls, we need this nourishment just as much as we need physical daily nourishment from food. And so to be spiritually nourished, we need to pray to God daily, and we need to read Scripture and apply God's Word daily to our soul's health. One last application of comprehensive, wise living is self-control in our thoughts. We are tempted quite regularly to not practice godly self-control in our thought life. And this happens, I think, in two different directions. About the past, we get angry, and about the future, we get anxious. Anger about the past. While anger per se is not a sin, we can be angry in a righteous way, but we can also be angry in an unrighteous way. And I would add, because of the sinful nature inside of each one of us, we need to be on guard about how we channel and express our anger. Sinful anger comes much more naturally to us than righteous anger. Unrighteous anger about the past, especially in regard to relational friction and injustices, can bleed into bitterness. Hebrews 12:15 says, "See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, and no root of bitterness spring up, causing trouble, and by it many be defiled." And so we need to deal with our anger, but do it in a righteous way, especially in our thought life. Another example of unwise thinking is about the future, in which we become anxious. We're reminded in the epistle lesson, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Unlike anger, there is no righteous way to be anxious. All anxiety is a form of sin against God. And of course, there is a difference between a passing thought, which goes to your brain in a millisecond, and a thought which stays in your mind because you choose to dwell on it. You nurture it and continue to be burdened and bothered by it. And so Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, tells us to cast all our anxieties on the Lord because He cares for us. Being held captive by anxieties is a lack of faith in God's rule and providence in our lives. And I, as well as anyone else, knows that this is not an easy path to follow, but it is the wise path. Being ruled by faithless fears and anxieties is really an expression of a lack of faith in God, and is in essence saying God is not in control or He is not working for our good. Yes, we have to make peace with the fact that God allows things in our lives which we wish He would not allow. But it is a harsh reminder to our sinful pride that we are not in control, but we must entrust ourselves to the only one who is in control, the Lord. And so this comprehensive pursuit is something we need to seek the Lord about. As we seek His face in prayer, as we hear His word, and as we seek to be self-controlled in our thought life. My third point is that this pursuit of wisdom must be a determined pursuit. Proverbs 4:8 says this, "Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her." Notice that the structure of this verse, although it does not use the words if then, it is implying that we need to prize wisdom and treat her as valuable, and then she will exalt us. If we embrace and hold fast to her, there's nothing half-hearted about this pursuit. We must do it with earnestness and conscientiousness. If we follow the verbs in this passage, we hear that obedient thinking, when firmly planted in the heart, that is at the center of our existence means that we must not forget, disregard, or forsake the commandments of wisdom, but instead love, secure, and honor, hold fast to God's commandments. When this is the case, wisdom in turn cleaves to, keeps, and exalts, embraces those who love her wisdom. Now, my fourth point is closely connected to the third point, and that is our pursuit of wisdom must be a lifelong pursuit. Proverbs 4:10-13 says, "Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded, and if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life." We are creatures bound by time, and we are to love the Lord and follow in His wise paths. And that means we need to do it our entire lives. And that's what's so challenging, because at times we lag in motivation and we follow instead in the ways of foolishness. And endurance of this test is difficult because we are so malleable and we change so quickly. But we are exercised the call and called on the Lord to exercise both patience and endurance in doing what is wise and right before the Lord. Again, the way of wisdom is called a path. The metaphor of life as a way or path is common in the Old Testament. So again, the challenge of the Christian life is that we must maintain and continue to persevere in listening to the infallible counsel of God's Word all the days of our life. And this is a long road of listening and obedience. And yes, to be realistic, it also includes the fact that times we go backward, we go off the path. We have both forward progress and backward motion, positive and negative, but always with an ongoing commitment to beg for God's mercy and a renewed commitment to get up, brush yourself off, and by the grace of God, continue in His wise ways. Let us renew ourselves to not only follow the Lord's wisdom now, but all through our lives until our last breath. Let us pray. Holy Lord, we ask in your mercy, purify our souls and bodies, that we may do what is your good and perfect will. And by your grace, we may walk soberly, righteously, and godly in this life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.